The book of Psalms, chapter 27, verses 1 through 4. Oh, just the fourth verse, chapter 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. My message this morning is entitled, What Are You Looking For? Before I begin, I want to share a little testimonial with you. I don't usually do testimonials. Those of you who know me know that's not my style. The church that we kind of grew up in, we gave a lot of testimonials, actually. But I did want to give them on this particular occasion. I just want to say that, as I said earlier, I've been the recipient of a tremendous amount of support from many of you in also on my better days, a very real peace. And that to me has been very, very powerful. Paul once described the gospel as the power of God. And that has certainly been my experience. It is a power. It's not just a doctrine, but it is a real power. Power to cleanse the conscience and to heal our loneliness, to give us peace and joy in the midst of our circumstances, to redeem everything that we ever do or ever suffer for the glory of God. Where would we be without Jesus? So that's my testimony, and that's all you're going to get. So I'm going to go back to my sermon here. I need a little water here in case I get dry. I'm already dry. The text we read a moment ago from the Psalms is the first text I ever preached from. I told some of you that, I think, on some occasion, but that was from this pulpit in 1991. I was 13 years old. And so I preached from that text. I think it was Youth Sunday. And even though I was the youngest member of the youth group, everybody said, Chad, you're going to do it. So I had to do it. But you young people, it's never, you're never too young to decide what you want to do, what you want to be, what direction you think that you're going to go. But it's become a precious text to me, just as this church has become a precious home to me. This church is where I learned my first memory verse, Galatians 6:10, from Jill Jezerski. Do good unto all men, Galatians 6:10, and it rhymed, and I got rewarded for remembering that. It's where I asked my first theological questions. I believe, Carol Shamley, you had to sub for our class, and you told us that God could do anything. And I did not believe you. And so there was more where that came from. And it's where I was baptized by my brother Jake Sterneman in 1986. And where I first began to call people who were not members of my natural family brother and sister. And above all else, it's where I met the Lord. And from a very young age, a desire began to grow in me not only to serve the Lord, but to serve him here at the congregation where my father had served and among the people who had become so precious to me. And I feel a light shining on me. That must be a good sign. But it's dwindling. As young people often do, we imagine what our future will be. And I imagined a life of serving the Lord in a rather sunshiny kind of way, as young people often do. It was only after I'd fallen down the road quite a ways that it dawned on me that a life of serving the Lord is not always lived on the mountaintop, but sometimes in the valley, as we say. And the road of life is one in which we often experience the joy of companionship with other people, but also one in which we experience painful partings, and sometimes we must often walk alone. Jesus is, of course, the supreme example of that. On the night he was betrayed, he told his disciples, every one of you will forsake me. And clearly that is not my experience this morning. I have never been forsaken the way Jesus was, or the way Paul was, or the way Peter was. But the point is that Jesus taught his disciples that if they were going to follow him, then they would have to be prepared to suffer with him. And those are the times when our ability to endure will depend not on what we can produce through our own strength, but on the strength that comes from depending on a power that lies not only in this world, but outside it at the same time. And there is only one name under heaven that has ever been given among men for who that is. We have to depend on Jesus. So my message this morning is simply entitled, What Are You Looking For? When the disciples first began to follow Jesus, it's interesting the way the Gospel of John puts it. The first thing he said is, What are you seeking? And that's a question that each one of us has to ask ourselves. And it's important to realize it's not a question of the outward deeds that we may perform, but the inner motives of the heart. What is it you are seeking? What is it you are after? What is it you want? You remember the story in the Bible where Samuel was appointed to choose a king over Israel, and they brought out all of Jesse's sons, one after the other. And Samuel said, well, this must be the one, that must be the one. And we have that passage of Scripture where the Lord says to Samuel, do not look on the outward appearance, for the Lord sees not as a man sees. He looks on the heart. And that's what Jesus is doing in this passage where he says, what are you seeking? Jesus is looking at our hearts. He's asking us to look into our hearts, to see what is there. What do I desire? Do I desire material things? Do I desire pleasure? Do I desire power? Do I desire to be esteemed by my fellow men and a person of influence in worldly affairs? Or as David says in this passage we read this morning, one thing I have asked, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire of him in his temple. It's interesting, if you know anything about David, you know that David broke just about every command in the Bible, and not the little ones. My goodness. And yet the Bible says, it is bold to say, he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Why? Because of all the commandments that David ever broke, he always kept the first. You shall love the Lord. Amen. David loved the Lord. But there is a great challenge here for us as we examine ourselves, because we are very good at hiding. The first man and the first woman, the moment that they sinned, went into hiding. And so the book of Proverbs says, the purposes of a man's heart are like deep waters. So answering Jesus' question, what are you seeking, is not, after all, so easy a matter. How many of you have ever done something or said something that you did not really think you were capable of? You have those times where you say, wow, geez, we shock ourselves. And part of the reason we shock ourselves is because we often suppose, erroneously, that if we mean well, that our heart's in good shape. But as we get older, more mature, more experienced, we realize, well, that's not really the case. The true contents of our hearts are not always evident on the surface, and it's not always easy to see into the depths of our soul. Looking into your soul, looking into our souls, it's kind of like looking into the refrigerator. I mean, everything's there. It's all nice, tidy boxes, but you've got to kind of open those up and take a whiff. You know, it might look like it's good and red. You know what I'm talking about. So the book of Proverbs says, the purposes of a man's heart are like deep waters, but it also says a man of insight draws them out, like putting a bucket down into a deep well, drawing those things out. Jesus was a man of insight. When Peter said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. That's one of the most terrible stories in the whole Bible, because Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew his own self. And you and I must examine ourselves with similar caution and trepidation. We all make professions of faith. It's church. We're going to make professions of faith. But it is God alone who will judge the authenticity of those professions of faith on the day he lays bare the secrets of men's hearts. The day I stand in judgment, one day I will stand in judgment, God is not going to ask me for my doctrine. And he's not going to ask me for an itemized list of my earthly achievements. He is going to look into my heart. And he will see through me in a way that I don't even see into my own self. Praise God that when our hearts condemn us, we have someone who is stronger even than our hearts. We're going to need that. So how do we know? As the Apostle Paul says, when we are in the faith. Like the Apostle Peter, I want to say, I have said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. But do I really know that? Jesus once said, by your fruits you shall know them. And that's a tricky statement because fruits don't grow overnight. Or as Chesterton once said, heard quoted recently, you can't grow a beard in a moment of passion. It takes time for fruits to develop. And so the real test of the authenticity of our faith is hammered out on the anvil of day-to-day life over the long term. It isn't won or lost in a single skirmish or a single decision. That's why Paul in his letter to the Romans can say at one and the same time, we are saved by grace through faith alone, and then in a later place, and God will render each one according to his works. Paul says both of those things. And by works, he's not talking about meritorious works, like you could rack up credit for yourself by doing all kinds of good deeds, but it's rather that faith, real faith, if it is real, is faithful. And if faith isn't faithful, then it's not real faith. And that is what I want to leave you with this morning. I knew today would be the last day that I would get a chance to speak from this pulpit, and I thought, well, what am I going to say? There are a lot of things that one could say. And I knew, well, I'm going to talk about the gospel, sure. It's what pastors do. But also about its power, the power of the gospel. To forgive, to comfort us in our loneliness, to govern our ungovernable lives, to give us peace and joy in the midst of difficulty, to give us hope for our future. But I also wanted to say something not only about what the gospel is in itself, but how may we test ourselves to see that we are in the gospel. A long time ago, the Lord said to the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, remember how I led you these 40 years in the desert to test you and to see what was in your heart. I think God still does that. He leads us, sometimes, as the psalmist says, beside quiet waters, sometimes into desert places. Maybe that is where he is leading me. Maybe you are in a season in your life where that is where he is leading you. But wherever he leads us, may we be found faithful.